Let me ask you tonight, do you belong to the church? Isn't it great to be able to say, I have a relationship with the church? My relationship with the Lord's church is personal. I'm not relying on my father and mother. They were godly, great Christians. But I don't rely on them and their relationship to the church. I don't rely on my wife. Now, Jenny's not able to be with us tonight. She picks a little lady up and takes her to church. We've been doing that the last several weeks. And so she had to go pick this young lady up. She's a new Christian. And so that's where she is. She's working, serving the Lord and doing that. But I don't have a relationship to the church just because Jenny has a relationship. And you as a wife, you shouldn't have a relationship to the Lord's church because your husband does. It has to be a meaningful, personal relationship. Could we then be described tonight as those who belong to the church? Do you believe that the word belonging is a very special word? I hold this Bible up before you and I say of this Bible that's red in color. Do you have a red Bible? If you've got a red Bible, hold it up. Don't see very many red Bibles. All right, Sister Carol's got a red Bible. I remember Brother Dan Winkler one time asking the audience, how many of y'all have a red Bible? And very, very few had one of that color. But he said, how many of y'all have a red Bible? That is one that you can open up and you can tell your Bible has been read. You're reading it, meditating upon the wonderful Word of God. That's the kind of red Bible we need, isn't it? And I believe tonight that when I think about the Bible and a personal thing to me, I own this Bible. It's my personal copy of God's Word. If my wife was with me, I would say, Jenny belongs to me. I belong to her. One way you know that is because of this little ring on our fingers. And the ring upon our fingers reminds us that we belong to one another. Well, we see this to be the case in some people in the book of Acts, the 12th chapter. They were those described by Luke as belonging to the church. Look at this with me a moment. In Acts 12, verses 1 and 2, reading this verse from the English Standard Version, the Bible says, about that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. Who did what? What does that say up there on the screen? Some who belonged to the church. Herod was the grandson of Herod the Great. Herod was an ungodly, unrighteous ruler and leader, and he thought it was pleasing the Jews for him to persecute certain ones of the church, bringing persecution against those who belonged to the church. And so the Bible says that he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. When I look then at these verses, I see the death of the first apostle. This James is not the half-brother of Jesus. Rather, this is the brother of John, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee. And this James was one that is described as the first Christian martyr, as an apostle for his faith. We know that there was another man in the book of Acts who was stoned to death. Who was that? Well, back in Acts chapter 7, that was Stephen. Stephen had so preached the word unto those Jews on that occasion that they rushed upon him with great anger, and they stoned Stephen to death. You read in Acts 7 the description of Stephen's death and how that is very explicit in the way that the Bible describes the death of Stephen. But you read of the death of James, and there's not very much said about His death is there. James is one that's an apostle. Stephen was not an apostle. But the description of the death of James, written only in a few words where the Bible says he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. It's about all that's said about the death of this apostle of the Lord. What does that tell us? Doesn't that tell us that it really doesn't matter who we are? You cannot lift and exalt one person above another person. You cannot say that James, as an apostle, was more important than Stephen, who was not an apostle. And the way that we die is going to be in a different way. James, killed by the sword. Stephen, stoned to death. We do not know how that we shall leave this life. But I believe that when I look at the death of James, this first apostle to be put to death, and I understand something about what happened to his brother John. Do you remember what happened to John? Sure you do. John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and he was there for a number of years on that island as a prisoner of the Roman Empire. And the day came that John, as an older man, is brought back from Patmos. And he comes back to the city of Ephesus. John, as an older man, comes into worship among the saints at Ephesus. History tells us that John lived the last years of his life in that city, worshiping with that congregation. And he would die a quiet death upon his bed. It is said of John that the Christians would bring him into the assembly, and he would come up before the church, and he would say these words of encouragement. Here were the words that John would say to the church at Ephesus. Children, love one another. Wouldn't you love to have heard John, the beloved apostle, say those words to you? Wouldn't it be great to have him here tonight speaking those words of loving one another? Let's go and let's see what is involved in our belonging to the church. Do you and I belong to something or someone that implies possession? Does the church possess you tonight? Is it something that is important in our life? Well, the very fact that you're here this evening in this assembly is an indication of the way that you believe that the church is important in your life. Do I see myself in this way? The church, we know, does not belong to us. The Lake Hills Church is not yours. It's not mine. It doesn't belong to any earthly person. We talk about the elders of the church. And though you don't have elders now, at one time you did. We have elders at East Ridge. And we know that the elders at East Ridge, that church does not belong to them. The church doesn't belong to any preacher. We cannot say the church belongs to me. The church belongs to who? It belongs to Christ. Did he not say in Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 16 verse 18, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Thus the church belongs to Christ. It belongs to him because he bought it. He bought it at a high price. What was the price that was paid for the church of Christ? The Bible again says in Acts 20, verse 28, he bought the church with his own blood. Is it important to Jesus then? Is the church that belongs to Christ the one that I belong to? I understand the great price that he paid for the church. We ask this question, What was the church? The church that the Bible says that those who were in the time of persecution, in the days of James and early Christians, what was this church? Well, the Bible describes it first as the body of Christ. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 made him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Now, whenever Jesus lived on this earth, he lived in a human body, didn't he? He had a flesh and blood body. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, living in a human body. Well, that resurrected, glorified body of our Lord was taken back up into heaven. And in that ascended, resurrected, glorified body, Jesus now sits at the right hand of God as the head of his body. Since Jesus Christ and his body are no longer here upon the earth, how can we say now that the church is still the body of Christ? Because you and I make up that body. We are the eyes of Jesus to see the lost on this earth. We're the ears of Jesus to hear their cries. We're the hands of Jesus taking and ministering and serving those around us. We're the feet of Christ that go out and walk about carrying the glorious gospel of Christ. Yes, Jesus' body has ascended into heaven spiritually, but his spiritual body, which is the church, is here today upon the earth. And the wonderful glory that all of us need to understand is that we are that body. How many bodies do you have? You have one body. How many bodies does Christ have? He has but one body. What then is this church to which we belong? It is also described as the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5 at verse 32. The church being compared to the wife. Wives submitting to their husbands in everything. And as a wife submits to her husband, even so Christ's bride, his wife, submits unto him as his being the head of that spiritual bride. Again, when I think about the church being the wife of the bride of Christ, I think something about the love that exists. What about the love that you as a wife have for your husband? What about the love that we as husbands have for our wives? And that great love that we share together as husbands and wives is a beautiful portrait of the love that exists between Jesus, the husband, and the church, his bride. How many brides do you have? You better only have one. You better not have any secret wives or secret brides out there. We do not believe in polygamy. The way our nation is going, it won't be long before somebody's going to argue for polygamy. Because if we have situation as it is in our nation trying to define what marriage is, and we're trying to set aside the Word of God and what the Bible says marriage is all about, and we believe today that marriage can be redefined as between a man and a man and a woman and a woman, how long will it be before somebody is going to say we can change the relationship of man and woman? Why can't we change the relationship of a man having several wives, or a man even marrying a child? No, we don't believe that that is what our Bibles teach. The Bible reveals that there is but one bride, one wife. Jesus has spiritually but one bride, one wife. All the other religious organizations tonight, denominations, are not the bride of Christ. Such would make him to be in spiritual polygamy. The Bible also says the church to which we belong is the house of God. Paul says, Timothy, I'm writing these things to you, brother, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. A house is a dwelling place, isn't it? And the dwelling place of God, the dwelling place of Christ, as Jesus lives in us. The church is the house of God. A house, a home, has a father. Our father is Jehovah God. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the house and in the family of God. Therefore, the church to which we belong is that which is described in the Bible in those beautiful ways. How do I manifest that I belong unto the church? How do I show it? Is it simply by what I say? Can I say, you know, I belong here to the church at Lake Hills. This is where my membership is. Or I belong to the church at East Ridge or Ridgedale or wherever we are members of a congregation this evening. How do I manifest or show my belonging unto the church? By the giving first of self. By not loving self more than I love the church. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6 and verse 33. And as I seek first and I give myself, I know that there are those of you in this audience who give of yourself for the work of this congregation. God bless you. You're trying to do everything in your power to keep this church going, to encourage one another by the giving of yourself and the sharing with others, the wonderful blessings that God has given to us. I manifest my belonging by finding my place. Have you found your place in the church? If you belong to the church, is there a place for you? Is there something that you can do? I love the song that says, Brother Sammy, there's room in the kingdom of God, dear brother, for the small things that you may do. And there is room in God's kingdom for all of us. And we can find our place. There's no big person and little person. There's no more important person than someone else. But all of us in the body, being one body in Christ, we have the hands, we have the legs, we have the eyes and the ears and the mouth. We have all parts of our physical body. And every member of that physical body has a place to serve in our physical body. The hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. Nor can the foot say to the hand, I have no need of you. What in the world could the hand do without being attached to the arm? You have a hand cut off from the arm, that hand cannot do anything. What can the foot do cut off from the leg? Every part of the body is important, isn't it? If I belong to the church, I want you to know tonight, if you belong to the church, you've got a place. You've got something that you can offer for the cause of Christ and the work of the Lord in this congregation. How do I manifest my belonging to the church? Well, I manifest it by promoting it. Does anybody outside of this building, these four walls, know anything about the church at Lake Hills? Have you told anybody about this congregation? Do we promote this church to others? Maybe in our families, maybe our neighbors, maybe those with whom we work, maybe those that we go to school with. We promote what we believe is important. We promote that which we love. I watched this morning, and there were some ladies right over here to my right that were sharing some pictures of some grandchildren and also great-grandchildren. I'm not quite there yet. I don't have any great-grandchildren. But all grandchildren are great, aren't they? I remember somebody saying on one occasion, have I shown you the pictures of my grandchildren lately? And the man said, no, and I really appreciate it. Well, I believe that all of us promote that which we love. What about your favorite team? About to start up, isn't it? Total Leather was the way that the announcer at Georgia Tech talked about the kickoff for the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Toe meets leather. Well, all of us have a team. I'm not going to tell you what my team is. Some of you know, but I'm not going to remind you. And some of you, I know, you have different teams that you promote. You'll wear their colors. I'll know what team you like when I look at that bright orange, or I look at the crimson color, or the red, or whatever color that you wear, your tie, your shirt, whatever you're promoting, and you cheer. You cheer when they win, you cheer for them. You're proud of them. You are promoting that which is very special to you. Can we not also promote the Lord's church in the same way? Can we not hold high her banner? Not the banner of our school, but the banner of Christ. There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King. We've got a banner that we want to display. We got the color of that banner, and it's stained with crimson red, the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the banner that we display. It is white because we've been cleansed of the sins that stain our lives. We have the color of that banner. It is blue because it reminds us above the bright blue, someday we shall be in heaven. It is the color of green because it reminds us of the life that we have in Christ. Oh yes, I believe that we promote that to which we belong and belongs unto us. If I belong to the church, I want to promote her for Christ and the church. Let our voices ring. Let our voices go forth. I ask, as we look in the question about belonging to the church, how do I then become a part of that church? Well, there's a call given. How did James, who was killed by the sword, how did John, the brother of James, how did they become a part of being disciples of Christ and being set in the church miraculously upon the day of Pentecost? How did they become? There was a day that they were called by Jesus. Come, come and follow me. James and John heard the sweet call of the voice of Christ, and they arose and they followed Jesus. We have a call given to us tonight, and that call comes through the gospel. Paul says we're called by the gospel, and that call that we hear of the gospel of Christ, we are willing to make the choice to follow that call, just like James and John. They made a choice. Will they stay with their father Zebedee in the boat? Will they stay with the business? Or will they leave all of that behind, making a choice to arise and follow Christ? And the day comes that all of us make a choice to what we shall do with that call. And there's a great change that comes then into my life. James and John, when they first began following the Lord, they were not what they were later in life. James and John, you remember on one occasion they come to Jesus. You know what they wanted? The right hand and the left hand in His kingdom. Let us be important in Your kingdom. When You're reigning, Lord, on Your throne, James and John want to be on the right and the left hand of Jesus. Isn't that a selfish attitude? Even the mother of James and John came and made the request that her sons be upon the right and the left hand of Jesus. And Jesus said, this is not mine to give. And He said unto James and John, are you able to drink of the cup that I'm about to drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism I am to be baptized with? And they said, we are able. James and John did drink of that cup of suffering. And I'm sure that when James met his death and that gleaming sword came down upon the head of James, severing his head from his body, he knew exactly what Jesus meant about suffering, the baptism of suffering that he experienced. And John learned and he knew what was involved in suffering as one who was a prisoner upon the island of Patmos. The change that later came to these men as they suffered for their faith. Do you know what the nickname of James and John was? Boanerges. What in the world does that word mean? Why did Jesus call James and John Boanerges? Because it means they are like sons of thunder. You hear the thunder rolling out there during a storm, the lightning flashing, and the thunder rolling in the heavens above. Why did Jesus say, "You are the sons of thunder"? Because there was an occasion when they go to a village of the Samaritans and they were rejecting Jesus. And James and John said, "Shall we call down fire? Shall we call down the judgment of God upon this village?" Jesus says, "You don't know what spirit you're of. Your spirit, that is, ones of sudden thunder, bringing down judgment upon these people." But later, John's attitude would change, and you would not think of him as a son of thunder, but rather he would be described as the apostle of love, the apostle of great patience, great understanding. Yes, there is a change that is manifested when we become a part of the church and we belong to it. There's a cost. We must be willing to pay a price. See, when I look at this Bible I showed you a little bit ago, this Bible did not come free. I had to pay a price for it, give some money for it. The church, as we said a moment ago, did not come free to Jesus. He bought it with his blood. He sacrificed himself for her. And if I sacrifice myself to belong to the church, the sacrifice of time, the sacrifice of my talents, the sacrifice of teaching His Word, and the sacrifice of the treasures I possess in order to support the work of the church, all these things are what it means to be a part of the church and the body of Jesus Christ, my Lord. I ask you as we close our study together tonight, do I belong to the church? If someone were to walk in this building with a gun in their hands, as some places have had happen, and they were to walk inside this auditorium with a gun in their hands, and they were to say to all of us, "I want all of you that belong to this church to raise your hands." And when you raise your hand saying you belong to this church at Lake Hills, your life will be taken. You will not walk out of those doors alive. The sound of the gun begins to go out. You and I, one by one by one, our lives are taken because we belong to the church. That's exactly what happened in Acts chapter 12. Those who belonged to the church were persecuted, and James was put to death because he belonged to the church. I hope you love the church with all of your heart tonight. If you would become a member of the body of Christ, the church of the Lord, oh, there's so many blessings that are found in the body. Blessings too numerous to mention. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ. How do I get into Him? The Bible says you're all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.